Savior, come to me. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee, how great Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Let's mark our books at number 682.
Because they're needed here at this church. We thank you again for the many blessings that we've got. Again, we're thankful for our lives, that we have an opportunity to try to save souls for your kingdom in heaven. Pray that all those that are here tonight benefit. Pray that we all learn and that we all get back to our home destination safely. These things I ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Our study this particular month deals with the idea of service. And we talked this morning in regard to God and how He would be serving us as we walked along this earth, and Jesus, as He was here up on this earth, doing the work that He was doing to help us serve the cause of God. And how that service was in the ability that He had, which we may not have that kind of ability ever. But the fact of the matter is that if we could not raise the dead, does not mean that we can't do some comfort to those who are in need. There were people there to comfort Martha and Mary at the time of their sad loss of Lazarus in John chapter 11. Jesus was virtually overcome with their emotion and wept himself, according to there in John 11 at 25. And at 27, it said that as he neared that tomb where Lazarus had been laid, and sealed by the rock that was there in that cave, and asked them to remove that rock, that the scripture says that he was deeply moved within his heart because of what was going on there. The fact that he was meeting death, and the fact that what had occurred to his good friend, Lazarus, moved Jesus even more as he neared that place of death. Of course, he had the power and he utilized that power to serve in the way that he could. He called him back to life. He restored him to the hands of his two sisters. He restored him to the community in which he lived. He restored him to the table at which Jesus would eat with his disciples just a little bit later in the book of John. Lazarus was one who was a credit, and he was a friend to Jesus. And knowing that he would go again gave them no doubt comfort to the idea that they would someday be with the Lord who had raised him from the dead. How can we live our lives in service? Paul wrote right about that in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. He says, beloved, he says to us that we should be people who recognize that we're beloved of God, that we're loved deeply by him, we're cared for by him, and there's a great appreciation for us by the Heavenly Father. And he says, regarding those who are beloved in their work and ways, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When he says to them that they're beloved, he tells them how they relate with the Lord. He wants you to know something. You're special to him, and he wants you to be aware. Beloved, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Now, that word mercy had appeared earlier in this writing in Romans. And back in chapter 12 or chapter 11 of the book of Romans, he closes out two or three verses there in regard to the mercy of God and how that the Jewish people rejected the teaching of Jesus, and it led to the fact that the Gentiles would deeply appreciate the teaching of Jesus and obey that gospel and have the mercy of the Lord extended to them, and how that would create a type of jealousy on the part of the Jewish people. They would see blessings that God had bestowed now, and the kind of joy that the Gentiles had in their being converted to the Lord. And blessed of him, they believed, and they walked differently, they talked differently, they acted differently toward others. And the Jewish people would see this and they would become jealous of that being the way of life that they would love and everybody would love and everybody would appreciate. We all appreciate people who tell us the truth. We appreciate people who are kind to us. We appreciate people who do good deeds for us. We appreciate people who are thoughtful of us. Even if we don't know them, we appreciate them for doing that way of life. And as a result of that, here are people who knew others, and they knew that they were of the Gentile world, but now then, they are converted by the word of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord, he says there in Romans 11, had been extended toward them. And as that mercy was extended toward them, it created a type of jealousy in the minds of these who had rejected this message and had not accepted this Lord and not been obedient to his way. And as a result of that, they might reconsider. Some of them would reconsider. And there would be throngs of them that would obey the gospel as a result of the Gentiles and their example now, how that they showed that they were not living according to idolatry. They were not living toward the foolishness of this world. They had the mercy of God extended toward them, and they were thankful that they now could live in a saved relationship with him. And so when he says, "Beloved, I want you to recognize these mercies of God that are extended to you," here in this 12th chapter, he's telling them this because that's the way of life that they had come to know and the way of life that they were living. And he doesn't want them to leave that way of life in their future. He wants them to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice did the Jews offer? They offered a dead sacrifice. They offered an offering, a dead offering. But Jesus came and he died for us. His death was created a resurrection time. And there was hope of the soul that Jesus represented. As a result of that, there was no need for them to die again and again and again. To go back to the animal sacrifices that were a part of a shadow of that which was to come, according to Hebrews 10 and 1 and 2. And so that shadow now laid waste to Jesus. And Jesus' sacrifice was full and complete as it ought to have been. Once it was done that way, then he furnished for them the hope that if they came to him and followed his way, they could enjoy that mercy of God, although their bodies would be presented as a living sacrifice. They would present their bodies as a living. That means for us, according to Brother Shepherd, who wrote, and Brother David Lipscomb, who wrote the book of Romans in their commentary series for the Gospel Advocate. In this section, they said, every member of the human body, once upon knowing the Lord and knowing his care for us, every member of the human body, the eyes, the hands, the ears, whatever part of our body we have, is to be administered to the glory of God. Be used to the glory of God. Not to selfish means, not to self-centered ways, not to foolish and sinful ways, but to submit one's body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. As a result of that living sacrifice, there's a way in which they find the wonderful blessings of God coming back to their daily walk of life, because there will be good means and good care that can be extended. We love for people to come by here to seek out help along the way with us. We assist them just a little bit, not to the extent that we care for them as though they could quit their jobs and have the monies and everything to be in the future with us. But to get the idea that we care enough to help people to get above what they are, what they're doing, what they need, and then to attend to those needs in a caring way. Urging them to be people who are faithful to the ways of God. It's a wonderful blessing for you and me to be people who follow that way. What should we do about our lives? Jesus said in Luke 14 and verse 11, that those who exalt themselves will become abased. They will be laid down. You exalt yourself, and we see that in life. When someone is glorifying himself, someone's bragging docious on himself, someone who's always talking about good things, the successes that I have, the victories that I have, There come a time in which that individual is lost a game. There's come a time when that person has lost out. There come a time, and it'll be recognized by those who particularly were around that person who was braggadocious about his ways. And thus the idea is to be humble people. And he goes on to say there in Luke 11:14, but he that will humble himself, what will happen to him? He'll be exalted. God will see to it that he is exalted. He's lifted up. What does he do in life? He humbles himself. He speaks in regard to how blessed I have been by God, but at the same time, I realize that there are times that will come when illness will happen to me, when troubles will come my way, when sadness will come my way. And instead of getting me over to that way and becoming foolish and foolhardy as we talk with others, we'll have the strength of the Lord administered to our hearts and our lives, and we'll be speaking in regard to this sadness being a part of life's story and not the all of it. As a result, we'll go on with life. We'll go on with teaching God's will. We'll go on worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. We'll go on being faithful people, because that which happened was a happening in life. It was an event. It was not the full picture of my life. I've told the story before in various places, and I think here as well, but it certainly is worthy to be told again. It's a story of a young lady who found herself in the midst of a terrible dilemma. In the days in which she got an inkwell, and she had a handkerchief, a silken handkerchief that had been given to her, and when that happened, she fixed this oil well, and she was dipping her pen in there to write, and she accidentally spilled the ink onto that handkerchief. Robert Browning was a part of this day and time, a famous author. He was also a good person who was able to do a good bit of artistry work. And she was complaining to him about, look what happened to this silk handkerchief. A beautiful gift given to me, a wonderful, wonderful treasure. I had it too close to this oil well. It tripped over and it marred this handkerchief. He said, may I have this? And she said, well, certainly I want it out of my sight. So I don't know what good it will do for you. But said, certainly, I'm not willing for it to stay here and be a reminder to me of what gift was marred by my own foolishness. He took that handkerchief, and later on he returned that same handkerchief to her. Bringing it out, he noted to her that it was fresh and dried, and it had multicolors all over that handkerchief. It was like a rainbow in times four. It was wonderful in its view. And she was struck by it to begin with when he brought it out and said, where did you find such a beautiful gift? Where did you find such a beautiful handkerchief as this? He explained to her, you gave it to me. She could only remember the one that was marred. She said, not that handkerchief I gave to you. This is not it. It can't be it. Why, it was marred and it was dust. It was priceless, but it had become without any value at all. And yet this right here is a beautiful, beautiful piece of treasure. She began immediately to turn it right and then left and then up and down and look around to find where the mars were. But she could not find them. Browning explained to her in these words, a story's come down through time. He said, life is made up of many colors. Along life's highway, there are disappointments and there are sadnesses and there are sorrows. There are accidents like you had, and there's terrible, terrible situations that develop. But that's just one moment. In the life of this handkerchief, that was just one moment. I took other colors and I mixed them together. and I formed them into this kind of a handkerchief, that if time were given to you, you could not find the mar, but you could find the multicolors that are here. Life is that way, as Browning noted. You and I may have already suffered many things along the life's highway in which we find ourselves saddened by those events. But that was one moment. That was one week. That was one year. That was one small period of time in our lives. Now then, we have to go on down life's highway. We've mixed it up with new friends. We've mixed it up with the colors of new loved ones. We've mixed it up with time and chance and opportunities, and we see the wonderful new life that is now in our presence. That's what happens in our daily walk of life as we people who serve the cause of God. And instead of walking in such a way that we exalt ourselves and become abased, we humble ourselves, and God has a way by which we become exalted. What a blessing it is. Now back to Romans 12, in which he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And that's our subject this month, our ideal service. What's a reasonable service? What's a reasonable service in which we present our bodies as a sacrifice and reasonable service? Because that reasonable service leads us to not treasure our bodies and treasure our evil ways of life. He says, present your bodies, therefore, as a living sacrifice, holy. Be holy in your ways. Be a person who looks for the songs that talk about holiness, and for the songs that exalt the place of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and exalt the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross on which He died, and exalt the friendships that we share one with another. These things exalted in song are worth our time of concentration. We're worth our time of going on in our daily walk of life. They're holy things. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Present it in such a way that it's acceptable to His way. If it's done in such a way that we're exalting ourselves, it's not acceptable to God. He's going to cause that to go down. He's going to cause that to be abased. But if we present our bodies in such a way that we find ourselves doing this from our lowly esteem, we'll find a blessing from God in our daily walk of life. You know, when we have that to happen in our daily walk of life, it's a good and godly thing for us to do. When the Apostle Paul addressed the brethren in regard to this matter in 1 Corinthians, he addressed them in regard to this way of life. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, if my words could say to this mountain, be ye taken down and cast into the sea, and have not love, it profits me nothing. He added to what Jesus had noted in Matthew 17, verse 20, when Jesus said regarding this matter, if you had faith so much as a grain of mustard seed, and said to this mountain, be torn down and cast into the sea, I tell you, this would happen for you. These disciples to whom Jesus was speaking about great and wonderful powers that they would have was spoken to them in regard to the idea that they had those powers. They could exercise those powers. And he had previously talked to them about how much love they should have for their fellow man and the great love they should have for God the Father. And in regard to that particular matter, he's now saying to them this. You need to have this small amount of faith, true faith, believing that what you're saying, what you're doing, how you're acting, how you're behaving is blessed of God. Have that faith, and you'll be blessed as a result. Whereas Paul is noting there in 1 Corinthians 13 that the love of God, the love of our fellow man, is so paramount that if we had that great power to remove a mountain and did not have love as we work with others, how would they be blessed by it? How would they be benefited by it? How would they see any good come from it? They wouldn't. So now we find ourselves having a mixture of that kind of faith and that kind of love, so that you could remove a mountain. There are various things that may be in our way, but we find ourselves with God's help able to overcome them. With God's help and assistance, we find our ways being blessed. This is a way of life of service that the Lord wants us to follow. I trust that as we do this in our daily walk of life, we'll not stop short and think that because it's not happened yet, that we'll find ourselves not thinking that God will do that. Remember the foolishness of those of 2 Peter chapter 3, who said, "Where is the promise of His coming? Since our fathers fell asleep in death, and they told us about the coming of the Lord, all things have continued as they were." And so far as we know, from the very beginning, they continue as they were. But He says, "This one thing you do not remember, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Remember that the promise of the Lord is that He will come, and that He will come this time in flaming fire, and that He will destroy the things that are around us and take us on to be with Him." Paul writes regarding that time in 1 Thessalonians 4 and closes out that chapter by saying, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We are comforted and we serve God. It's the right thing to do. It's always the thing to do. And no matter the circumstances of life, when we humble ourselves, He will raise us up. He will exalt us. And let's be that kind of people as we live and serve the cause of God. When we get together from time to time and we write out addresses to people to send to the invitation to them to gospel meetings or vacation Bible schools or things like this, let us leave those envelopes with a prayer. Let us put those stamps on with a hope. Let's send that with a prayer that God will bless it somehow. And in His providence, bring it to bear that will be a change of life offered to those individuals. More than just send it out. More than just let the postal service deliver it. We'll find ourselves offering a real hope by the prayers that we offer for it. Song of invitation provided tonight. If you accept Jesus' invitation, all things are ready for you to obey the gospel, become a Christian, and live faithfully the Christian life. That's the way in which we can serve the Lord even tonight. Come as we stand, as we sing together.
Lead me to God.